Well, we're in Hebrews chapter 11 today, continuing in Hebrews chapter 11. And this chapter, as we've been finding out over the past few weeks, is like the Faith Hall of Fame. It gives us some examples from the Old Testament of different individuals that exhibited their faith in different ways and lifts these people up as examples of how what our faith might look like, or different ways that we can express our faith in our God and our Heavenly Father. And we've seen three so far. The first example of faith was of Abel's faith, Cain and Abel. And you remember both Cain and Abel had brought these sacrifices to God, but only Abel's was accepted by God. And we talked about how it was because of faith. Abel had faith in God, and that was what made his sacrifice acceptable. It's not about how wonderful our sacrifice is, or how awesome the things that we give to God are, or how awesome our service is. It's about what our faith looks like and what's going on in our hearts. And then it was about Enoch. And remember, Enoch was this guy that was, he didn't die. He went up to heaven. And it's like his example of faith is just super logical. Like he believed that God existed, right? That was what his faith was. He believed that God existed. And that's kind of an important place to start. And that does require faith, doesn't it? Because we usually can't see God. We can see God's fingerprint, as it were, all over the place, but we can't see God. And so we start there and just believing that God exists. And that's what it was for Enoch. He believed that God exists, and God worked through him. And then after that we saw Noah. You remember Noah and the flood, right? And Noah, his faith was one that God told him, hey, this is what I want you to do. He went out and did it. He built this ark. People were probably making fun of him, and the flood was coming, and there was no signs of the flood until the day arrived, and he had to keep stepping out in faith, keep doing what God had called him to. And that was what his faith looked like. And sometimes that's our faith, where God calls us to something, and in our time, half of the faith there is, did I really hear God correctly? Is this really what he's calling me to? And then stepping out in faith and doing what it is that we believe he's calling us to. And then even if we don't see the results right away, to trust that, yeah, this is what God called me to, and I'm going to continue walking in obedience. Well, today we're in verses 8 through 19 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, and this is the faith of Abraham and the faith of his wife Sarah. They lived about 400 years after the flood. If you have your Bible with you today, you can flip open to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. We won't read the full section just yet, but we'll skim through some of these verses. And you'll see mention of Abraham and Sarah as we go through this. And promises pop up a lot, like the word promises. And pro tip, if you're reading your Bible and you see a word that sort of seems to pop up a lot, oftentimes that's something that we want to focus in and say, hey, Holy Spirit, what is it that you're doing here? And so that's certainly the case with this passage, where it is about the promises, and promises pop up a lot in this passage, because that's a significant part of the faith of Abraham and Sarah, and a significant part of the faith that we're called to. So there's three stories in these passages. Let's go through them. First, we see Abraham, all right, and he's called to go into a new land. He'd been living in the land of Ur. He had a good life there, but God calls him to go into this new land. And Abraham, the Bible tells us, Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he put his trust in God. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. That's cool faith. And then this call, we won't flip there now, but this call is captured in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. And there you'd see that God called Abraham to leave his country, to leave his people, to leave his house. And then in the Hebrews verse, we see that fulfilled. He lived in a foreign land with his sons in tents. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So he took this big step of faith, And one question is, well, why? Why did he take this big step of faith? Well, because his eyes were set on eternity, on the promises of eternity that God had made to him. Verse 10, for Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was looking forward to eternity. He was looking forward to being with God. Our next story in this passage is about Sarah, Abraham's wife. She conceived and she had a son. His name was Isaac. And this happened when she was around 90 years old. Crazy. Hebrews tells us that she received power to conceive by faith. Right? Where did that faith start? With a belief that God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. I'd say, right? 90 is probably past the age that you'd normally have a child. Yeah. So, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him, God, faithful, who had promised. So, Sarah was around 90 when Isaac was born. And then the last story here that we're looking at. Abraham is called to offer his son Isaac. You remember this story? God instructs Abraham to offer his son Isaac, and Abraham, in obedience, starts out this journey. And then at the last minute, just as he's about to kill his son, to sacrifice his son, God provides a ram to be sacrificed in place of Isaac. Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. See, God had made this promise to Abraham that was going to be fulfilled through Isaac. And there'd been this awesome birth when his wife was 90. They'd received this son. And now he was called to sacrifice Isaac. And so even though it made no sense to Abraham, even though he couldn't understand what was going on here, why God would call him to, Abraham trusted God's promises. He trusted that God was still going to be faithful. And at the same time, he was obedient to what he'd been called to here. He stepped out in faith. Verse 19, Abraham considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so with all three of these stories, there's a pattern here. In each of these stories, of course, faith is required. Something out of the ordinary is happening. And in each of these stories, Abraham and Sarah's faith starts with faith in God's promises. When I was studying this passage, I got stuck trying to figure out, well, how does this apply to us, right? I can see what was going on in Abraham and Sarah's life. I can see that you'd made these promises to them. But how does that apply to us, right? Because Abraham and Sarah had received promises that were specific to them. Most of us haven't. This promise to Sarah that she would conceive a child, most of us haven't received that kind of promise, especially if we're getting close to 90, right? We haven't received that kind of promise. Or the promise of Abraham that he would inherit this land. We haven't received the same kind of promise. And as I was considering that, here's what popped into my mind, that you know what, the audience that Hebrews was written to, the Hebrews, they hadn't received these promises either, right? But the Holy Spirit saw fit, and the author of Hebrews saw fit that these promises that were made to Abraham and were made to Sarah, they are relevant to the Hebrews, and they are relevant to that original audience. And therefore, even though we look back at Abraham and Sarah, and maybe we could say, you know what, their lives were so much different than ours, and in many ways they were, the lives of the Hebrews was a little bit more from a spiritual perspective, a little bit closer to ours, because at their time Jesus had been born, and he had died, and he had been resurrected, and so then the question becomes, well, what did this mean for the Hebrews? Why? How could that be resolved for the Hebrews? Because they would have had the same problem, right? Here's these promises that were made here, and so what does that look like for them? And that's if you're reading your Bible and you get stuck on something, that's often a good place to go. Go back to that place where it's like, well, what was going on for the original audience, for the original people that this book was written to? What was it saying to them? And lots of times that helps us to understand how it applies to us. Kind of you take that step first and then bring it to us. So just like the Hebrews to whom this book was originally written, we have already seen a big part of this promise fulfilled, right? This promised Messiah had come, he had died, he had come back to life, Jesus. And so we've already received some of that promise. We've received Jesus. But then Hebrews 11 verse 13, just like Abraham and Sarah, we haven't received the full measure of this promise yet, right? We haven't entered into eternity yet, just like Abraham and Sarah hadn't at the time. We haven't arrived at our promised eternal home yet. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These Old Testament characters, these Old Testament people, they all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So these Old Testament characters, they hadn't, Jesus hadn't come yet, so they hadn't received that aspect of the promise, but they also hadn't received the eternal promise. They hadn't entered into eternity. They were still strangers in this land, strangers and exiles on the earth. And so in short, some of the promises to Abraham and Sarah still do apply to us today. They haven't been fulfilled. We haven't entered into our promised eternal homeland. And so here's the message for today. This is something that we can learn from Abraham and Sarah, that God has made some promises to us, and if we trust Him in these promises, if we trust God in these big promises, we trust that He's faithful in these things, then certainly we can trust Him in our daily lives. And more simply, do you trust God's promises? If you do, then step out in faith. Specifically, do you trust God in these big things, right? That Jesus is with us, that He's coming back, that we're going to be with Him, right? Do you trust God's promises? Then step out in faith. Have you ever heard of those? Escape rooms or the lock rooms? It's like this. It's like you. It's a business. You go and they put you in this escape room and you have to figure out how to get out. It sounds like fun to me. I'm sure some of you are like, why would I want to be locked in a room and figure out how to get out? But anyway, I've never been to any of them. There was one that Julie and I are planning to check out with some friends in a little while. And what happens is they put you in this room and then there's some puzzles you have to solve, right? Like maybe there's I haven't been, so I'm just guessing here, but maybe there's a picture that shows a picture of something and gives you a signal that you need to open a drawer, and you open it and there's a secret code in there, and then you put the secret code on the lock and you can crack open the door and you escape, right? Something, I'm sure it's not that, but maybe something like that. You get the idea, right? That you need, the game is to escape from this lock room. And they have different themes and different ideas. Well, you might have seen in the news this week that there was a couple of women that escaped from prison in Edmonton, and I don't know how they got out of prison. Maybe one of their friends sent a metal file and a cake or something. Anyway, they escaped from prison, and they're on the lam, and the police are chasing after them, and they run past the business. It says lock room or escape room, and they run past, like, maybe we should pop in there, right? So they pop in, and that's the funny part, right? Like, you just escaped from prison, and now you want to play this game in a in an escape room. So they go in, and they had the cameras that showed the lobby, and so you see the two women come in, and I know I'm stereotyping here, but their hearts must have been going super fast, and they must have been super anxious. But when they come in, they're like super cash. Oh, yeah, so this is a locked room, hey? Yeah, and they ask some questions. So like, what kind of themes do you have? And what are the time limits? Oh, about an hour, yeah. That sounds kind of interesting. Yeah, all right, well, oh, can we check one out? And like, yeah, sure, come on back. So they go take them back just to look at one of the rooms, and then they have the camera still in the lobby, and then a police officer busts in. He's like, have you seen two women in here? Like, the staff member that still is there is like, well, yeah, they're, there's a couple women that are just in the back. So he radios, he's like, yeah, they're here, over. And then you see four more police officers bust in, and they all go in, off camera into the back room. And then in the next scene, the two women are in their handcuffs and walking out, right? And they go back to they go back to prison. Yeah, it was a pretty bizarre story. In fact, I'm like, I gotta fit that story in here this morning somehow. but it does. It fits with our message today. And here's what it is. I don't know what these two women were thinking, but this story, maybe it reminds us that, you know what, these two women, what they're familiar with, what they know, what they're most comfortable with, whether it's good or bad, there's going to be a part of their, deep in their subconscious, that's what they're attracted to. And whether that's what happened with these women or not, I don't know. Maybe they were just having some fun. But you wonder if they'd escaped from prison, and then even though this escape room, this locked room thing, it's just a game, it's like, hey, here's something that kind of caught the corner of their eyes. Here's something that we know. Here's something that we're familiar with. Let's just go in and check this out. Maybe we'll feel safe here, because this is what we've been living for the past however many years we've been in jail, and maybe there's something here that we just would make us feel a little bit more comfortable. And friends, this is what we want in our lives. That deep in our subconscious, we know that God's promises can be trusted. We want that to be true. For many of us, that is true. As believers, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's reminding us, yes, God's promises are true. And our lives should reflect that. That out of that, just the places that we pop into, the conversations that we have, the things that we do, the steps of faith that we're willing to take that we otherwise wouldn't, because these promises are deep within us, then our actions, we would hope, would be such that, yeah, we would take these crazy steps of faith. We would do this awesome stuff because that's who we are. All our actions are taken by faith, and they're tied to these promises that we trust in God. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, I'm not there yet. I have a hard time trusting the promises of God. I'd encourage you to work through that. Ask the Holy Spirit, can you show me what's happening in my heart? Is it something from my past, a choice that I have to make? Is this just where I am? That I'm having a hard time trusting your promises, God. Sometimes God does increase our faith by calling us to step out in faith. Maybe he's calling you to step out in something that you can't quite understand. But wherever you're at, here I hope that you'll... I pray that you'll hear this truth, that we do serve a good God, and that he can be trusted, and that he keeps his promises. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I have a few friends that have been atheists, that have become atheists over the years, that had been would have identified as Christians, and then since then have decided that they're atheists, and that's hard, right? Maybe some of you have family or friends that have gone down that path, and it's just a frustrating thing to be, because you care about your friend, you care about your family, and then it just from where we're at and from knowing God, it just seems so illogical. But in some of my friends' lives, and this isn't everybody's story is different, so this isn't the case for everybody. But in some of my friends' lives, I've seen that part of what's been happening is that they've been holding on to these promises that God is good, right? I believe that God is good, and they hold on to that promise. God is good, God is good, God is good. And then something comes along in life that just kind of knocks them over, right? Something comes along that seems to contradict this promise that God is good, or seems to not make sense. Maybe they're struggling with coming out as gay is one that lots of people struggle with, right? Or a family member that's made some that's gone down that path, or maybe sometimes it's like, you know what, I'm they're thinking I'm stuck in this marriage that isn't right, that's loveless, or sickness. It's like some sickness comes along and it's like, God, how can you as a good God allow me to just be going through this sickness, this pain, this thing that I can't handle another another day of. Right? I'm sick. How do I reconcile that with this promise that God is good, that God loves me? And maybe for you, I list those examples and you're like, oh, you know what? Those examples don't apply for me, or you've got the rational explanation for how you'd maybe work through that stuff. But the thing is, the truth is that the day comes for all of us when there's something that hits us or comes into our life and it's like, God, this just doesn't make sense. There's no logic that can reconcile this. I've always held on to this promise that you are good, but now this is here and I can't see how these go together. That day does come for all of us when life doesn't seem to match up with the promises that we believe. And those are hard days. And this season for some of us might last for a long time. Some of you might be in those seasons. It might last for your whole life. A season in which you can't reconcile your life with the promises you've received from God. And Abraham is the example of exactly this, right? We know Abraham's story, that God called him. He said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, right? And that makes absolutely no sense. Number one, this is his son that he loves. Number two, Abraham thought that his God was different, right? That his God wasn't like the gods of the surrounding area, the false gods that people worshiped, that they believed called their people to worship, to child sacrifice. And this didn't make sense for Abraham because this big miracle had just happened where his wife had, or years ago, where his wife had given birth to this son, and this is the son through whom they're supposed to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And so you can see how this is going to be something that's just going to knock Abraham out. What do I do with this? I have these promises from God. I have this promise that he's going to give me these descendants. I have these promises that he's a good God, that he's different than the other gods. And yet this, and how do I resolve that? And at that time, you can't resolve it. You can't see what God's doing or why this is happening. Abraham had some ideas. He believed that maybe God was going to resurrect Isaac from the dead after he died. But you can see how just like with us, we get to these places sometimes where it's like, this is the promise, and I hold on to this promise, but this truth in my life, I'm having a hard time reconciling that. And so Abraham stepped out in faith. He started walking up the mountain where he was to sacrifice his son, and he continued to believe the promise that God had made. He continued to hold on to that promise, even not being able to see how that worked with what he was called to do. And friends, this is what we're called to. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes life seems to contradict the promises that we've received from God. And what do we do? What do we do? That's when this story reminds us that we trust God's promises, and then we step out in faith. So finally, this gets us to our Bible passage for today, or the full passage anyway, Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 19. And as I read this passage, watch Abraham and Sarah as examples of faith, right? They had received these promises. They trusted that God was faithful, and then watch how they chose to have faith. Watch how they took steps of faith in their daily lives. So Hebrews 11, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, having received not having received the things promised. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, right? With their faith eyes, they could see that these promises would still be fulfilled. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Friends, we've received promises as well. We've received the promise of eternal life, and we hold on to that. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he made to us: eternal life. This is a fundamental promise that we've received. We believe this promise first, then because we trust God in that promise, we leap from that promise to trust him in every area of our lives. I'll finish up with this. All right, this is the you might have to bear with me because this is the nerd joke part. All right. So, have you ever seen those T-shirts that are like, there's two kinds of people, and then it says one is this, and the other kind is this, right? Maybe you've seen those T-shirts before, right? Okay, well, I've got a couple of those T-shirt jokes, and these are the nerd jokes, but that's the pastor's prerogative, I think, to share not too funny jokes. All right, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So if you do any computer programming, or if you are into math, then you'll know that in binary, 10 is actually 2, right? 1, 0 is 2. So there's one of these T-shirts that says, there's 10 kinds of people. 1, those that know binary. 2, those that don't. You get it, right? Because 10 is binary for 2, so 2 kinds of people. Yeah. Yeah, it's always much better when you explain the joke, isn't it? Okay, one more nerd joke here. There's two types of people. 1, those that can extrapolate from incomplete data. And then 2, those that can't, because you don't need to give the second one, because you can figure it out from the first one. No? Yeah, where's our drummer, Bill? Huh? Okay, so so I asked Julie if she'd seen those kind of T-shirts, and she's like, "Yeah, this is one I'd make. There's 2 types of people: people that like dumb jokes on T-shirts and people that don't." And I'm like, "Ouch, Julie, that hurts." So then I reminded her of, "I love my wife" T-shirt, huh? Yes, you like that one, don't you? That's not a dumb T-shirt. And in fact, I'm, given that it's Thanksgiving, I am super thankful for Julie and that she can hold me accountable to my bad nerd jokes. Real love. So there's a quote that's sometimes attributed to Einstein. There's only 2 ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is, right? 2 kinds of people: those that see God at work everywhere, and those that don't. When something unusual happens in your life, do you diligently search for the rational explanation, or do you carefully pay attention to what God might be doing in your life? It's usually good to do both, right? Something crazy happens, and we can say, "Hey, is there a rational explanation? And what is it that that God's doing here?" For Abraham and Sarah, they believed the promises of God, and therefore their lives reflected that, right? They took these bold steps of faith. Jesus rose from the dead as the first fruits of our promised future resurrection. When we die, it's not over. If we believe that promise that we will be resurrected, then it changes how we live today. This is why Paul in the Bible says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. That's 1 Corinthians 15:17. Because this promise that we're going to be resurrected, if that's not going to happen, then we might as well just not gather together here, right? But that we believe that promise and we believe that that is true, then it affects how we live. If Jesus rose from the dead, then walking on water, the worldwide flood, living in a giant sea creature's belly for 3 days, creating and sustaining the heavens and the earth. If a guy came back to life, then everything changes. If Jesus conquered death, then we can trust his promises. Jesus promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promises he's coming back. He promises us eternal life. And if we believe those outlandish promises, then can we trust God with our homes, with our health, with our bodies? Can we have faith and follow him even if we can't see where we're going, with our kids? Can we trust God even if the life he called or calls us to leave behind seems more extravagant than the one that it seems he's calling us to? This is the kind of faith that Abraham and Sarah had. They trusted God's promises that they would inherit this land, that their descendants would be as numerous as the stars, and these promises into eternity. They trusted his promises, so of course they're going to trust him when he calls them to go to a new land. Of course Sarah had faith that received power to conceive. Of course Abraham offered up his son Isaac by faith. And so the question in closing is, what about us? Do we believe the promises God has made? And if we do, then of course we'll step out in faith. Of course we trust God with the things that are most precious to us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that each one of us here, that you would just sink your promises deep into our hearts, deep into our minds, that we would know these things to be true. And Lord, that when the day comes, or if we're in that season right now, for any of us that are in that season right now, that when we can't see how this life reconciles with the promises that you made, Lord, please, by your grace, just give us the strength to hold on to those promises, to know that you are good, to know that you have eternal plans for us, to know that you love us, Lord. Please give us the strength to hold on to those promises when it seems that it doesn't make any sense. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.